There you go, guys. Man, praise God. Hey, guys, I want y'all to understand something. Y'all are an answer prayer. There was a day where Janice Foster and Brad and Greg, myself, other people, many, 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 many years ago, where we were praying for you guys, and God gave you to us, and we are very, very thankful. So I want you to do me a favor, because today is an awesome, awesome day and morning. Raise your hand. No, you know what? Don't raise your hand. Say loudly, amen, if you have had a great morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, 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 okay? And so what we are going to read the Christmas story. Some of you guys might have done this morning. You might not have. And so we want to make sure that we look and we feast our eyes and our attention on the greatest gift. And so do me this. Say amen. If you, hey, amen. Come on, little man. Come on, little man. Come on. Say amen if you received an awesome gift this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen to me. I bet you did. I bet you did receive an awesome gift. But I'm about to talk to you about something that's even greater than anything that you guys got. That if we piled up, if I said, bring your greatest gift, and lay it up on the stage, what I'm about to read you about is going to be greater than all those gifts combined, and that is the gift of Christ. So it says in Luke, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be a man, whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Mary, do not be afraid. Why, church? Because this was good news. This was good for Mary. This was a gift. The angel said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. He will be great. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of what?
God.
Amen, guys. Now indeed, listen to me as we close. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relatives, have also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For God with nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be so according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Axel, stand up for me, brother. So I want you to bow your heads. My man here is going to pray for us, and I want you to go sit back down with your parents, okay? Let's bow our heads.
Dear Lord, I hope you have a good day, and I hope everybody has a great Christmas, and everybody enjoys their feast and their food and their families and everybody that's sick and everybody that enjoys Christmas and the big gift that we celebrate on Christmas Eve. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I love you guys. Huh? No, you're good. You're good. Thank you. Is that not an awesome thing? Man, awesome, awesome thing. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Exodus 38. Hunter's Christmas. Exodus? Exodus. We are going to find the Christmas story. If you can find the Easter story, we'll find the Christmas one. Go to Exodus 38. It's so good to see this house packed. Actually, we're going to start in 37, but it should be on the same page for you. Look at Exodus 37, starting with verses 25. This is the people's response, the people of God's response. The Israelites, the former slaves, now free. This is the response of man when they have received the perfect gift of freedom. So do you hear me? When man receives the perfect gift of salvation, this is how man responds. And what we see is the building of the altar of incense. So look at chapter 37, 25, and we're going to read on to verse 7 and 38. He made the incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was a cubic and its width was a cubic. It was square and 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of 1 piece with it. And he overlaid it with pure gold, its tops, its sides all around, and its horns he also made of the molding of gold as well, all around it. He made 2 rings of gold around it. He made 2 rings of gold for under its molding by its 2 corners on both sides as holders for the poles for which it bare. He made the poles of acacia wood as well and overlaid them with gold. He also made the holy anointing oil and pure incense of sweet spices. Hang on that, church. Here's the Christmas story. He also made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer who made them. Chapter 38. He made the altar of burnt offerings of acacia wood as well. 5 cubits was its length and 5 cubits its width. It was square. And its height was 3 cubits. And he made its horns of 4 corners. The horns were 1 piece. And he overlaid it with bronze. And he made the utensils for the altar, the pans, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. And all of the utensils he made of bronze as well. And he made a grate of bronze. Network for the altar under its rim. Midway from the bottom, he cast 4 rings for the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. 2 verses, hang with me. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. Then he put the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar in which to bear it. And he made the altar hollow with boards. Hear my words, church. From my little ones to my seniors, Christmas has always been about gifts. We said it last night as we read the gospel and we talked about the virgin birth. We see it this morning in the reality in which you live, in the excitement that your kids experience. No matter if you are lost or saved, Christmas has always been about gifts. Now, what type of gifts that you focus your attention on is really dependent on how you experience this special day. And so if you look at most of your children, if they're anything like mine, are in this space where I think that I probably sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Their mind is so preoccupied about what they have received and what they have and what is waiting on them. You might have let them bring it to church with them, which is okay with me, but it is hard to even concentrate because they are so excited about the gifts they have received, right? Do you remember, parent, that anticipation? I was thinking about that as I watched my kids open presents this morning, and I was thinking about my own life as London woke up at 3:15 saying, "Are we ready?" I was thinking, Hunter, when were you last excited to open anything, right? Do you remember such anticipation? Do you remember the excitement of the gifts of Christmas? This was the first time, or not the first time, this is the only time that my kids are excited to go to sleep. Like, we had these ideas and plans that we were going to go look at lights and go out to eat, and which we did after the candlelight service last night. But all of my kids, they said, "We don't want to go out to eat. We don't want to go look at lights. We don't want to drink hot chocolate. Let's go home and go to sleep." It was 6 o'clock at night. Do you remember having such anticipation, such excitement? And then we have this morning the newness of the gift. I don't know about you guys, but we stopped spoiling our kids when 2 went to 4 very quickly. We could afford to spoil 1 or 2 kids. We can't afford to spoil 4. And so we have spent 12 months basically telling our kids no. No, we can't have candy. No, we're not getting McDonald's. No, you can't have a Lego. Like, we have said no a million times. And then you have this one moment where all the no's combine to this big yes. And they're sitting there in that newness of like, oh, I have candy and food and gifts and toys and books and crafts. And I have all of these things. They have this idea in their mind that in this moment, as a child, with all of these gifts and presents, nothing could go wrong. It's almost life-changing. Do you remember that? Or are you too far away from it? Do you remember being young and so excited to run to that tree? And when you finally do, when the countdown's over and everything is unwrapped and you're holding all your stuff, you're like, man, this is life-changing. However, as you get older, and some of the glamour disappears, you realize that this moment of worldly gifts is not life-changing. It is sweet and fun and kind, and it's worthy to videotape on your phone, but it is not life-changing. If anything, at its best, it's day-changing. And I don't even know if it's day-changing, but here's the truth. All of our kids, or at least most of them, by the time they get back into their pajamas tonight, like all the anticipation and all of the newness and all the excitement, even in hours' time, will start to settle in. And all the ideas of Christmas will also always be how many more days till the next one? Before we had breakfast at 7:45 in the morning, one of my daughters said, "Hey, Dad, how long till the next Christmas?" Right? There is only one life-changing gift. There is only one life-changing gift. There is only one gift in the history of our existence that does not grow old, that does not get old, that does not perish, that is always fulfilling, that is always wonderful, that increases in value as we age, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. I love, though, for you guys that think that I'm speaking badly of this day, I love the symbolism of Christmas. I love all of it. I love waking up. I'm the first one to wake up in my family, and I wake up around 4:35, and I love going down to the den and sitting on my couch, and you know, the lights are just turned on, one or two, and it's dim, and I get a cup of coffee, and I sit down on my couch, and I just have the tree on, and it is a symbol of calmness. I love that look. It's peace. I love the symbolism of the foods of Christmas. I had M&M's for breakfast, right? It's comfort. You have chocolate and ham and all of these things. It's a symbolism of calmness and comfort. I love the weather. Kids, I don't know if you know this, but it's rare to have snow on the ground, even though there's just a little slight bit of it now, but it is sweet to have it be cold on Christmas. I've had many Christmases where I've been on my shorts. It's a gift. It's the symbolism of rest. And then we have the gifts, the symbol of all the presents under the tree that we unwrap, and it's a symbol of fun. But I woke up this morning with actually a different message in mind that I was going to speak to you about. And God put on my heart as my son woke me up and I told him, "Hey, buddy, I cannot wake your mother up at 3:30. This is not going to go well if you don't go back to bed." But I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I went to my office and I made some coffee and I sat there. And God put this idea of the Lord's Supper on my mind. And this is what I had thinking. As a parent, as I turned the tree on and I got everything ready, I had my phone ready to record, I had gifts laid out, stockings were ready, like we were excited for the moment. All the symbolism, tree, lights, food, chocolate, gifts, weather, we had it all, Huntington. And I started to think to myself, the symbolism in this little cup, this little bitty cup of juice and a stale wafer, is more powerful than all of those symbols that this world throws at us combined. Every gift that you unwrapped, every tree that you lit, every moment that you shared, every cartoon that you watched, every sweet moment that you had combined together is a speck compared to the symbolism in this small cup that we celebrate today. I want you to think about this. In so many ways, Christmas is a man-made holiday. With all the support that's behind it, I know that you feel like it's really catching on. It's the biggest day of the year. 365 days, and Christmas morning is the pinnacle of each and every year. However, tomorrow it will be forgotten. Next week it will be forgotten. This cup is never forgotten. This cup is never forgotten. It will not be forgotten tomorrow. It will be not forgotten next week. It will be not forgotten next month. It will be not forgotten next year. What do we see in Matthew 7? God says in his word, if you as wicked men know how to lavish your children with kind gifts, what kind of gifts do you think that I can give you? God offers so much more than the greatest gift that anybody unwrapped this morning. Most adults have not had the opportunity to walk with family and loved ones that have shared that with them when they were younger. And so we find ourselves in this space of your Christmas was dependent on what you unwrapped. And so have you said that to your kids? You maybe said it to them this morning. You might have said to them, did you have a good what? Christmas. And what you're actually asking your child is, did you like all of the things that you got? Do you like all the things that you unwrapped? Was it satisfactory to you? What was your favorite thing you received? Are you satisfied, son and daughter? That is not what God has in store for us. God has in store for us much, much better. And that is the perfect gift of Christ that we celebrate in his Lord's Supper. I want you to see this. The people in Exodus, they understood the gift of freedom. They understood the gift of freedom. And so that's why when they make the altar of the incense, this was a symbolism of their worship because they felt like it was pleasing to God. So remember what I told you guys, what they did on the altar, they put big pieces of meat and then they also had different fragrances that they lit. And the idea was when they burned the meat or they lit the fragrances, all the aromas would go up to heaven and God would smile upon the people because he was pleased with the fragrance. And so what we read in 38, the people knew that they were free. They knew God was the greatest gift. And the way they responded was with true worship. And so that is what we see in the idea of frankincense. When the wise men gave it to Jesus. I want you guys to see this. I thought it blew my mind. I passed over it earlier in the year, but I want you to see it in Exodus 30. Go backwards. Look at Exodus 30, 34. This is a fun fact. This is the first time in the Bible that's ever mentioned this spice called frankincense. So I want you to see this with me. So if you know the story, the wise men gave baby Jesus gold, gave baby Jesus frankincense, and then also Jesus myrrh. So why did the wise men give frankincense? This is the first time it's mentioned. Look at these verses. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, take these sweet spices. It says, stactac and achia and galbanum, and the pure frankincense with these sweet spices. There shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. This is what they were doing in chapter 38. And you shall beat some of them very fine and put some of them before the testimony in the tabernacle of the meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you, but as for the incense, the frankincense, which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves according to it to be composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. So understand, when the wise men gave baby Jesus frankincense, it's because they saw him as God. Frankincense and burning frankincense for man was not acceptable. It was only for the gift of God, and that was Christ. So in Matthew 2, the wise men understood the gift of Jesus. and it responded to their hearts of giving back, and that was their gift of understanding. And so when we come in here, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we call our praise team up, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I want our minds and our hearts to be focused on the gift of Christ. For all of us that had wonderful moments of gifts and unwrapping this morning and family time, praise God for it. However, focus your attention on the gift of Jesus, the greatest gift ever to be given to man. So as our praise team comes up with our juice in hand, I want you to turn to your Bibles, 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 11:27. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So eyes on me, young and old. So here is a moment in the church where all of us are holding this juice and this bread, but some are not. And so we are all holding this remembrance of the gift of who Christ is and what Christ accomplished. But some here, and you might be young, and you might be so excited about all the presents that you hold and all the presents that await you, and you can't wait to go home and play with. But the people around you are holding something greater. And they are holding the remembrance and the understanding and the faith of the greatest gift. And right now, I might be talking to a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 90-year-old, but I want it tattooed on your heart. Why am I not holding the greatest gift given to man? So you had this thought. You say, Hunter, I have so much. And honestly, you have nothing. And for some, you might have nothing, but you have everything. And so at Christmas, I hear people say all the time, I feel so sorry for that child in Africa that has nothing. If he has the Lord, he has more than the lost man here in America. And so if you are here this morning, young person, child, and you go, man, Hunter, if I can just tell you all the things that I unwrapped today, and if you are not able to hold up this cup, you have nothing. You hear me? You have nothing. However, if you received nothing today and unwrapped no gifts, but you hold this cup, you have everything. And so we're going to have a moment of prayer here. It's just silence. Our praise team is not going to sing yet. I want you to pray. I want you to pray as we end this year for the man or the woman that you know that is lost. If it is you, I want you to pray for forgiveness. If it is your child and you desire salvation for your children or your neighbor, your father, whoever it is, God save. Because today is not about worldly gifts. Today is about the greatest gift, and that is the gift of freedom, the gift of salvation. For all those who are saved, we still need to repent. We are still called to forgiveness. And I want a moment of silence. And then I will pray for us that God continues to guide, save, and free his people. So let's bow our heads in this moment of silence. God, we thank you for your church. Lord, as I have had a moment where you have given me a wife, and I praise you for it. You have given me boys, and I praise you for it. You have given me girls, I praise you for it. I have means, I have a family, I have a home, I got a car, I got freedom, I got a job, I got means. You have given me so many gifts. I have unwrapped an endless amount of blessings. There is nothing greater than the gift that you have given me than freedom and salvation. And so, Lord, if someone is here and they are preoccupied with all of the things that are waiting for them back at home, Lord, shock their system. Step into the light of their life and show them if they cannot hold this cup, nothing they have is worth anything. Lord, I pray that we see salvation this Christmas morning. I pray that someone's life starts today. But Lord, all of us, if we hold this cup, we are in continuously need of freedom through forgiveness. I am a sinner in the front of the line. And I pray that you continue to love and to shepherd and show your grace and mercy and your forgiveness in the midst of your people. We thank you for your Son and what he accomplished on our behalf for our good, for our life. And the church says, amen. With the bread and the remembrance of the body that was broken, the life that was given, the love that he has, we partake in the bread. I want you to continue to see God's word. This is the celebration. This is what we come into the church. We raise our cups high and praising God that we don't just go to him in forgiveness, but we get to leave forgiven. Look at God's word in 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken. For you, do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant. In my blood, he's become the perfect high priest. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So this is what I want to share with you. I'm going to step down. Our praise team is going to sing. And I want you to pray thanksgiving on God lavishing you with blessings and gifts. And so here's the cool thing about worldly blessings like Christmas. When you are saved, when you have been forgiven by what Jesus Christ has accomplished, when you are able to raise this cup, now you can enjoy the blessings of things like Christmas. You can open gifts and you can love family and you can do all of these things that are so sweet and kind for the Lord to allow us to do. And you can do it all because he has saved you first. When God is first, everything else can be enjoyable. But when God is not first, we're just holding empty cups. And so we want to thank God for his forgiveness. We want to thank God for his grace and his mercy, that everything we do today is all because we get to do it as free men. Free women, child of God, children of the Lord. So as we bow our heads and our praise team sings, I want you to thank the Lord for the greatest gift in human history, and that is the gift of his Son and salvation. Thank you. in remembrance of the blood that was shed, and in the remembrance of everything He has done, and His grace and mercy and love and kindness and generosity and blessings that is poured over you and I. The only reason that we can celebrate anything in the remembrance of Him, we partake in the juice. As we close here, I was thinking as I got off stage, you know, as a parent, I was sitting by my boys. I have four kids, and my boys have come to know the Lord and placed their faith in Him, and they're saved, and they're holding that cup with me. And I sat there for hours this morning and videotaped them unwrapping and playing with gifts that we have spent all this money and time searching for and all of these things. And I'm sitting there with my boys, and I'm just thanking the Lord that the greatest thing that they have put their hands on this morning is that cup. And there was a time, parent, listen to me, there was a time where I would scour the earth to make my kids happy, my wife happy, with something they could hold. I would go to the internet, I would travel to Memphis, I would go to another state, I would order, I would spend money I didn't have for them to have something on Christmas morning that would make them happy. There is something greater than your kids' happiness, and that is their joy. And that joy only comes from Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that anyone can hold this morning is that cup. And so if your child, if you are holding that cup, praise God. If they're not, pray, Lord, save. Let me pour in my gospel, your gospel. Let me disciple, let me love, let me guide. The only thing that will bring true fulfillment, and that is a relationship with my Lord and Savior. And so if any of my young kids, if that has made sense to you, elementary, middle, high, however old you are, if you go, why am I not holding that cup? What is that man speaking of? We invite you to come ask questions. We invite you to have us pray with you. We want to see salvation this Christmas morning. So as we end here, I'm going to have my brother David here. He's going to pray us out. You are close to getting out in 1 hour. I'm very proud of that. Okay, so Merry Christmas. And thank you for being here. Wonderful morning. Thank you for filling this place up. Thank you for all the work that it takes. Go ahead and stand with me. David, if you'll pray us out.
Lord, we come to you. Just so thankful to be here this morning. It's been a great service, Lord, and Lord, I love how we've ended our service with the greatest gift that we could have, and that is you, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the families that have showed up this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you bless everyone here, that we have a good rest of our day. But Lord, not to forget the meaning of today, and it's your birthday. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for coming down and saving us, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.